I mean, I look around. I'm 31 years old, so I'm no longer a teenager. But ever since I was,
but you look younger than 31. I must say.
Thank you.
I should have put you at 27 to 28.
Oh well, I'll take that as a compliment.
This is a compliment.
Yeah,
to you.
Thank you. Yes? And I've, all my life, I've looked around, and I see lots of people of different faiths and saying different things. And obviously, there's you've already told us today about the basic similarities. But you say that, and a lot of people don't seem to see the similarities. I have a question which is very straightforward. How do I tell the truth when I hear it?
How do you
tell what is true when I hear it? Because sometimes I'm confused.
Right, yes. You see, this question can be answered in different ways. But first of all, I would draw your attention to the introspective method. Mm-hmm. Everyone is created with truth, according to the claim of the Holy Quran, as well as I understand, the same claim is shared by every other religion. Barring the opinion of St. Paul that every boy is born sinful, and if you go to Old Testament and study it in depth, you will find that this is not right. According to the Old Testament as well, and according to the teaching of Jesus as well, nobody would bear the cross of the other. So none should be born sinful, otherwise he will be bearing the cross of his forefathers. So that is, let me clarify it first. So everyone is born with truth. Every child is innocent. And as such, later on, his upbringing makes different things out of him. That is why the responsibility of the older generation, as he mentioned, I answered to him, it begins with your own responsibility within yourself. But coming to your question, that means that we have been born with an inbuilt criterion, or not criterion, but touchstone of truth, which may be soiled, may be dusted, but it's always there for us to reach and find the answers. So if anyone keeps his inborn truth intact, the question you have raised would be easily answered with reference to your inner self, what you believe should be right and what you believe should be wrong. And when I say that, I mean universally, what man believes should be right and man believes should be wrong. That is basic truth. For instance, when you tell lies in any country of the world, even in communist countries, everyone knows lies are bad. When you usurp other people's rights, whether the law exists or not, whether it's abolished or not abolished, the committer of sin knows himself that this is wrong. So there's an inbuilt law which cannot be done away with. And the law from on high, given to man from high, on high, that is from God, must perfectly coincide with the law within. Now, whether the outer truth is right or wrong, first of all, can be judged with reference to your inner law. Born, if a teachings, for instance, a teaching is on to be examined and adjudged. Now, delve deep into your own self, contemplate and think, is it really universal? Can it apply to all people together? Does it not violate any sense of justice with which I am born? If you apply the truth to be examined to this inner inbuilt phenomenon of judgment, judging right from the wrong, The answer should always be right. In the English idiom, to be able to call a spade, is an oversimplified statement of the same thing which I am just discussing. Every man who has this quality, to call a spade, is fortunate to have preserved his inner truth. But very few people are there in the world who can call a spade. This is the problem. An oversimplified statement, but extremely difficult when it comes to application in everyday human experiences. So, be true to your own truth, and the judgment of the outer truth would become an easy thing. If man is distorted within, then it's impossible for him to be able to judge whatever he hears, whatever he sees. So this is the first condition laid by the Holy Quran for making someone entitled to be guided by the Quran. It's an amazing statement right in the beginning of Surah Baqarah. You know, the first chapter is called Surah Fatiha. This is only of 7 verses. But for all practical purposes, Surah Fatiha is not the first chapter, because it is a gist of what is to come, the whole Quran.
Introduction.
Yeah. The first chapter in reality after this is Surah Al-Baqarah, which says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is that book which was promised. There is no doubt whatsoever in it. No doubt in the claim that this is the book which had been promised earlier by two prophets. No doubt in it itself. Yet, Hudal lil muttaqin, it will guide only those who are righteous within. So you seek guidance for the sake of righteousness. But here is a precondition laid which seems to be an inherent contradiction. You want to be righteous, that is why you seek guidance. And the first declaration is, you have to be righteous before you begin to seek guidance.
A chicken and egg. Wow.
But it is not. Because here the righteousness means the simplest meaning of truth, not the advanced qualities of truth. Because righteousness begins with the very simple elementary concept of truth to a higher and more complex stage where there is no end to it, in fact. Righteousness will always remain relative in relation to the more perfect or the perfect models which we call as entitle as prophets or messengers of Allah. But from Allah's vantage point, that also would be imperfection. But from our vantage point, you know, you can, so many grades, impossible to count between the man who is beginning the journey to truth, of truth, to the man who is much advanced. And herein, the inner truth, it can exactly be defined in the English idiom, to be able to call a spade a spade. When that you have reached that integrity, that honesty, which sometimes is possessed by simple, poor, ordinary villagers far more than poor citizens of great cities. Poor both are, the both are poor, but one is simple and poor, the other is crooked and poor. So that is why the truth is far more accessible to those who belong to this category of simplicity and honesty, whereby they can see a thing which appeals to them and they say, yes, okay, we like it, we accept it. So these are the two ways, or is it just one way I mentioned? Now, one was that you can put all observations to the criterion of your inner, inbuilt concept of truth. Secondly, when something comes from outside as truth, you will be able to be led rightly if you have developed this quality of seeing something and saying, yes, I see this as this, and accepting it. If you come across teachings which you say, yes, very good, fine teachings, and then you go your own way and continue to follow your own old practices, then this is not truth. This observation is false, that it is truth. Because when you say to call a spade, it requires more things than it seems on the surface. When you call a spade, you can't hit your child with a spade, you know, with the wrong end in his direction. Because you know the spade would cut his throat or injure his belly seriously or whatever it is. So to call a spade means to really believe in what you see. And when you believe in what you see, then you always use it for the purpose it is built. And you cannot mistreat that thing. Because when you know it is a snake, then you can't poke your finger into his mouth. And similarly, the whole life can be explained in this regard, that truth is a very powerful thing. Truth is only truth when it has the quality of shaping your life and subjecting yourself to what you believe. So in this way, the judgment of truth is not difficult, but this way is difficult. To be able to reach that stage is difficult because you have to continuously purify yourself and prepare yourself to offer sacrifices for things which you think are good for you or for mankind. And that is why the people of the prophets, the time of the prophets, they go through this mill of persecution and suffer it bravely with heads held high, because they know this is truth, not the others.